Good morning and welcome to everybody that's worshiping in Minnetonka, Woodside, and online. And it's so good to say that again and so good to see you again. I wasn't sure if we ever would see each other again, but here we are. And we're going to pick up where we started this new series a couple of weeks ago called Friendology. I had the opportunity to hear Verna Price, a lecturer, speak in Minneapolis about 6 years ago on the kinds of people that change your life. And she identified them by saying they are adders, subtractors, multipliers, and dividers. And I go, that is really good. And that's biblical. It's not a biblical message that she gave, but I said, I can make that into a biblical message. I really can, because God speaks about each of those given titles or directives related to what I put under the canopy of friendology. So I want to invite you to take out your teaching notes. You can download those as well. While you're doing that, could you take notice of the program and the date on the cover of the program? It's historic. It says 4/15/2018. It's the Minnesota Blizzard Day. And I think, I want you to know, I could not throw away all those programs from last week. I could not do that. So you got them. If dates bother you, correct it if you need to do that. But which, by the way, that's the first time in our 23-year history we've not met on a Sunday. First time. And it was so hard. If you could have seen our conflicted three-hour conversation, what do we do? But hey, we made the right thing. Hope you had a great snow day. Glad that we're back together again today. Well, let's jump into it. I need friends, and so do you. And I'm not talking about the kind of friends that put a smile on my face, make me laugh, the kind of friends that you enjoy a good Friday night out for dinner alone. I'm talking about the kind of friends who stand with you, who care for you, who love you, who correct you, who support you, who serve with you. I'm talking about the kinds of friends that help you grow up in life, in every season of life, as well as the kind of friends that help you grow into the very likeness of Christ, because that's his vision for us in our journey. So the starting question really in the series is, who are the people that you have surrounded yourself with? And it's important to note that discerning who is a true friend, a good friend, and a safe friend will determine the quality and the very direction of your life and your relationships with God, as well as with self, and even with others. It's a really big deal. Well, true friends are adders. They add something to your life. I'm going to give energy to the adders of your life today, and next week talk about subtractors and dividers. In fact, my message today is that adders bring increase into your life. They help you realize who you are. They help you realize what you have to offer in this world. They help you make changes in your life for the better. That's what adders do. When you open up the scriptures, you find that the Greek and Hebrew words for friends are multiple. There are many of them. We have this one word called friendship, but there's a continuum in the biblical narrative concerning friendships. And the word gets translated friend, referring to those who might be an acquaintance, but as well those who would be in your close circle. Wherever they might be on that continuum, you want to have friends that are adders, and all of them can be. The adders are not simply the closest ones in your life. They can be even mentors, professors, bosses, etc. They can add significantly to your life. So what gets added to your life? Friends who are adders bring increase in a number of ways. I mean, I made a list of 10. I'm going to speak about four. I've chosen four that are not on the surface so much, and they go a little bit deeper because I think they deepen the bond of affection. So you're ready to go on a beautiful day? It makes you want to learn, doesn't it? This day makes you want to learn. It's spring. Spring has arrived. Follow the teaching notes if that's helpful to you. But let's look at the first one. The first one is that adders increase transparency. They're open. They're honest. There's something distinctive about that transparency that they have, however. They allow you to see the very inside of who they are. Their soul life gets revealed. And it's a privileged place to be. There are many examples of these kinds of friendships in the scriptures. One of my favorite is Jonathan and David. We read in 1 Samuel, Jonathan became one in spirit with David, and he loved him as himself. One in spirit. They are bound by this deep affection of the soul. And when you read about their narrative and their friendship, you see it all over the place, a beautiful friendship. And one of the most winsome and distinctive qualities and aspects of the life of Jesus is the distinctive kind of transparency. It's remarkable how transparent Jesus was. He says, I no longer call you servants because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. He uses an analogy they understood very well at that time, the servant-master relationship. And the servant is not informed concerning the master's heart or goals or purposes. They're a servant along the way. But Jesus calls us not just servants, but friends. And he brings his friends into his confidence, and he informs us about the heart of God, about the love of God for who we are and the purposes that he has for us, the plans. And Jesus, in that self-disclosure kind of place, I mean, he weeps with his friends. He enjoys deep fellowship around the dinner table with his friends. There is transparency and openness and self-disclosure, no holding back. He says, everything I have learned has been shared with you. I have made known to you. In other words, I want you to know who I am. And by the way, he's saying in turn, I know who you are, but I want you to know who I am. These are the qualities that ought to be mimicked in our given relationships as well. The transparent self is what we want, but we don't always feel like revealing it for any number of reasons. But self-disclosure, even though it's vulnerable, it's incredibly powerful and healing and liberating. The human personality, friends, has a natural built-in inclination to reveal itself. And when we're transparent, we find ourselves growing in that bond of affection. But when we are not, we close off others and we get into emotional difficulties all of the time. That the number one reason for our challenges in relationships is we don't know how to put words to our feelings or to imagine that, to manage that internal world that allows us to step in with each other and grow in it together. It's a dance, to say the least. But honesty and openness and self-disclosure really promotes a healthy relationship and deep intimacy. And in fact, I find myself in the place where, and I think you would probably agree with this, I like it when people reveal themselves to me. When they share something in the depth of their soul, I'm drawn to them. I feel like there's a bond that's growing deeper when they give that privileged place of giving me some of the space of their soul that we can share together in that given moment. It builds trust over time. And any of you in that kind of healthy relationship knows how important that transparency is. Carrie's my best friend, no doubt about it. I mean, we've been married a long time, and we're companions, we're lovers. She's the mother of our children along the way, but we're the best of friends. She's my best friend. And that means that we have these places of transparency with each other that we have to learn to dance and grow in over the years. We sought to do that. Many of you know that I'm an upper kind of guy. I'm a positive guy almost all the time. Almost all the time. I mean, I'm the kind of guy that looks at the glass half full when it's empty. You know, people like this. I just think life is so great and grand. It's so short, but I see the best of what can be in it. So I tend to be an upper, but I'm a human, and I have off days and hard days as well. And I had one of those a couple of weeks ago. And I was just in a funk and discouraged in my soul. I go, why am I discouraged, you know? And it happens to us, right? We get into those places. I'm sitting in the chair in our living room. It's late in the afternoon. I know I need to go down and do some writing for several hours still into the evening, but there's nothing in me that wants to get out of the chair. You understand? You've been in that place before? It's not a fun place to be, but it does hit us. And I'm sitting there, and I know I can feel it kind of gurgling up that I need to bring Carrie into this. She's my best friend. I need to bring her into it. And I said, Carrie, she was in the kitchen. I said, would you come over here for a moment? And she did. And I said, could you put your hand on my forehead and just pray for me? She put her hand on my forehead. She prayed for me. And there's this moment, you know, she didn't ask questions because she knows what I'm thinking and saying before I think or say anything. That's the reality of it. But when she was done praying, it was just simple and beautiful. And I got up and I took the dog and I walked for 30 minutes. And then I came home and I went down to the basement and I wrote for 4 hours straight. I just go, wow, it energized me along the way. There's something that happens when we can take that which is deep inside and put it out there. Now, we learn that. That's not like that happened in our first year of marriage, as much as you grow into those safe places to say, if there's anybody I can be transparent with, it's her, and she'll be there with me and for me. So it begs the question, if we're wired up for this kind of transparency, why do we self-protect? Well, we get the answer. It's pretty clear in Genesis 2. It says, Adam and Eve were naked and not ashamed. Now, I always have to say this because the word naked is something that has such sexual connotation for us. That's what we think it means, when in fact the word that's translated naked is speaking about the whole of our being. They were not ashamed. They were fully exposed. They were transparent. There was self-disclosure with each other. God created them this way to know each other, to be known by each other at that kind of personal level. They're open, they're transparent, they have nothing to hide, they feel safe. That's chapter 2. Turn the page to chapter 3. And wow, chapter 3 opens with sin. And what happens? They hide from each other and they hide from God. This is why we have to learn to trust again, because now we have this sin thing that's come into our world. And ever since, we vacillate between the impulse to reveal ourselves and the impulse to protect ourselves with this blanket of privacy. And we long both to be known, but also to be hidden. So we want intimacy. We want to be known. We want to be transparent, but we live like this. Don't get too close, because I'm not sure I can trust. And yet we were created for it. That's the call. Most often, when people are transparent, it has the effect of drawing us closer to each other. Why do we then self-protect because of this sin? Sometimes we're just projecting an image. We want people to think more highly of ourselves than we ought. Guys, I'm speaking to you specifically. You want to be James Bond. You know, we want to put that image of aloof, cool. You know, we're the kind of people that can enter into life as tough, emotionally inexpressive, and detached in personal involvement. And quite honestly, I fear that's a little bit of the Facebook friended dilemma that we have, a projection of something that gives the appearance of something greater than what reality is. And we miss that self-disclosure honesty that's so important. Or it's the fear of rejection, because when you offer yourself to somebody and they leave, or they don't receive it, or they walk out of your life and they call themselves a friend, oh, it's devastating. And it creates walls. Sometimes it's just about the fear of identity. But the Christian practice of confession has always been one of those transparent things that brings a healing effect. Transparency is so important. James says it this way: therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. And for us who find the humility and courage to come forth and say, I got this thing working on the inside, and we confess it, it's amazing what healing will come into our lives and how we can move forward. For all of you technological advanced people in the room, I got a hashtag for you. Could you hashtag this? Be real, be healed. Anybody who knows me well, I really don't care about that aspect of technology, but it really does advance good causes. So if you are wired that way, it's a good one, I think. Be real, be healed. Okay, good. All right. So the invitation to be transparent is an invitation to authenticity. So in each of these, there's a rhythm of what increases and what decreases. Authenticity increases. The real me gets to be known. And we like the real of people. We can smell when it's not real. We don't always know what to do with it, but we love real and authenticity. And what gets decreased is this masking. We stop masking when we become transparent, and self-disclosure and honesty becomes part of our journey, and it's an important place for us to step into. Deepen friendship by cultivating transparency. What adders do is also, secondly, increase confidence. That adders can add confidence in our lives in so many ways. I've identified three that I think are really important. First of all, they add to your confidence in a time of need. In a time of need. That is, they bring encouragement and presence. They bring help and hope. They bring perspective to us. I don't know if you've noticed in the last month, there's a verse that I have repeated, oh, I bet it's been a half a dozen times, from Monday, Thursday, communion service. I love taking a verse and just sitting on it. And I was sitting on this verse a month ago, and every day I think about this verse. And this last week I had an aha. God's word is alive. It speaks to us. I thought it meant this a month ago, but this past week I had an aha related to it. The verse is Hebrews 4:16. Let us approach God's throne of grace with confidence so that we might find grace and receive mercy to help us in our time of need. And a month ago, I was thinking, oh yeah, that's good to find grace and to receive mercy at a time of need, like when I'm in a rough patch where the job isn't going so well, or I got a rough diagnosis at the doctor, or I have a relationship that's broken and I'm in that rough patch kind of place. And that's what I was thinking of it, to find mercy and find grace and to receive mercy to help us in our time of need. My aha this week was, when do I need help? When is my time of need? And I realized it's every day. It's every day. That I can find grace and receive mercy to help me in time of need, which is an everyday reality in my life. I need God every day, not just in the rough patches, but every day. Do you find that to be true as well? Could you just be transparent with me for a moment, since that's what I'm talking about? Raise your hand in Minnetonka, in Woodside, here, if you feel like you have one need that you need help from God with in your life today. Just raise your hand. Could I see that? Even in Denmark, if you're watching in Denmark, raise your hand. Okay. Yeah, look at us. We need help every day. That's a verse for every day. And we're called to approach the throne of God's grace with confidence. What a picture that is. Proverbs 17:17 says, a friend loves at all times. See, this is what happens in friendship with God. It's an everyday kind of deal. This is what happens with friendship with each other. A friend loves at all times. A friend loves at all times. It's so good. Not just on Friday at 5 p.m. before happy hour when all is well. No, all times, in the hardest of times. Secondly, they add confidence to your life by affirming gifts, talents, skills, and abilities. You know, God has created us for purpose. And we find revelation of that in the scriptures, but we also find confirmation of that from people. When you think about where you are and why you are where you are, God probably brought people into your path to help you figure out your life's journey. And maybe you're just at the front end of figuring out your life's journey. But this is what he does. 1 Thessalonians puts it this way. Paul says, therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you are doing. That is, build each other up. Affirm each other in that which is causing us to be together with our gifts, our skills, our abilities to make a difference in the world. So adders help you understand the value that you are to the world. The three great questions of life, you know them. Who am I? Why am I here? And where am I going? Adders help you sort those kinds of things out. Adders help you grow and to mature in life as well, because they are there to bring the best out in you. They're not motivated for their own gain. They really care about you. Adders are the kind of people who want to bring out the very best to see you be all that God wants you to be. Proverbs 27:17 says, as iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another. That is, there's a mutual improvement plan. We sharpen each other in these kinds of friendships that we call adders, sharpening our relational, our emotional, our vocational pursuits. And then third, this is a tender one, but they add confidence by speaking simple, straightforward truth in your life. None of us like to have people speak truth into our lives because it humbles us, but this is what adders do. Proverbs 27 says, better is open rebuke than hidden love. Wounds from a friend can be trusted, but an enemy multiplies kisses. Whoa, the wisdom of scripture. That adders can sometimes get in your face, but they don't kiss up to you. They're not trying to deceive. They're not trying to manipulate. You can trust that their criticism is there to help you grow in the midst of whatever you're going through. And yes, it hurts to have anybody call out anything. We've become a culture that gets so defensive, sometimes we can't be teachable. But to have effective adders in your life is not to become defensive, but to receive, knowing that they're trusted, they want the best in you, and to give them the permission to speak that truth because they see what's missing. They can see something that might be concerning for your welfare in life, something that could be dangerous or lacking, and they will call it out because they want the best for you. So I just want to say that adders are not always comfortable people to have in your life, and you may not want to do happy hour with them at 5 o'clock every Friday because they sometimes can come off as judgmental, but they don't do it for any other reason but for your own benefit. Their motivation is pure that way. Humility is required when you have friends like this, and it's so much better than defensiveness to be teachable so we can grow, and we need adders to help us grow. And there's an increase and decrease with this, but there's this esteem that gets increased, this confidence that helps us be all that God wants us to be. We learn to be a stronger self with what God has for us. And there's this decrease that happens of anxiety as we find adders strengthening that sense of well-being, what I would call Christ esteem, not self-esteem, our very identity in who he is. And you know that I've spoken a lot about anxiety through the years and speak about it as a heightened sense of concern and a diminished sense of control. Greater concern, the less control you have, the more anxiety you have. Adders close that gap and help you breathe to get through those anxious given realities in life. The third is adders increase energy. Don't you find this to be true? That the people who are the adders in your life, they just motivate you. I mean, they help you get out of bed in the morning. They help you face the day and all that's in it. They're incredible gift contributors to your life and your journey. Carrie and I had the opportunity, we were invited to dinner this past Thursday night with two couples, dear friends of ours, one couple whom we get to see pretty frequently, the other we haven't seen in many, many months. And so we were just looking forward to it. So last Monday, it was a good day, but I was thinking about Thursday. And then Tuesday was a good day, but I was thinking about Thursday. And Wednesday was a really good day, but I was thinking about Thursday. Because I knew Thursday would be the best day when we would end our day with friends whom we love and wanted to be with. And we just had the time of our lives, which I knew it would be that way, which is why I anticipated it, because they're adders in our lives. And before our dinner, they invited me to pray. And I said, be glad to pray. But before I prayed, I just said a few words to say, you know, Carrie and I just count it a privilege to have friends like you in our lives, that you are soul friends, that we understand the very core of who we are. And I shared this verse, perfume and incense bring joy to the heart, and the pleasantness of a friend springs from their heartfelt advice. That friends bring joy to the heart. They bring a pleasantness. They create motivation in us with life and all that comes with it. That energy creates energy, and adders create energy that help us deal with the reality of life and all the hardship of life. And there's an increase and a decrease that comes with this. There's an increase of motivation. Again, they help us get out of bed, face the day, seize the opportunities that are before us in life. And there's a decrease in the sense that we see a diminishing pattern of procrastination that can overcome our spirits. And if you've been here any length of time, you know my mantra on procrastination, that procrastination is the assassination of motivation. And I've taught my children that they are so annoyed every time I raise it. And I go, you probably are too, but it's really true. Teach your children that adage. It's helpful for us in life. One more that I just briefly speak about. Adders increase goodness. Adders understand something really important, that we exist on this earth to serve others. Not to accumulate, not to build up our reputations. No, we exist to serve others, to receive from God what he has given us, and out of that knowledge to give away unto others. And when we enter into that rhythm, man, there's a joy that comes to our life, because adders help you realize who you are and what you have to offer and what you need to change, so that you can know of God's presence in new ways and you can serve the best interest of others. Hebrews 10:24 says, and let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. I love that. I can just keep it up there for a second, because it says, let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together, even on blizzards, as some are in the habit of doing. We're going to try to never do that again. But encouraging one another, and I love this, all the more as you see the day approaching. What day? What day is approaching? You sense the urgency, the day that Jesus is coming back. And that day could be soon. Live your life as Jesus is going to come back today. It creates an urgency, a priority, a focus of priorities of your life. How you use your time, the people that you spend time with, it gets clearer when we live in that given pattern. What a gift that God has called us not to run this race alone, but to be given the body to provide encouragement, support, and even correction. There's an increase in this, and there's a decrease in this. There's an increase that we become other-centered because God is an other-centered God, and we're made in his image. So we stop getting self-absorbed, paralyzed by our own issues, wallowing in the reality of life, and we get outside of ourselves to find help, hope, and healing. And there's a decrease then in self-centeredness. And what a gift that is. So I'm thankful personally for friends who point me to Christ, who encourage me to keep my eyes on those who may need the healing presence and touch of Jesus Christ, Son of God. So who are the friends you have chosen? And what happens to you when you have adders in your life? I'd like you to take that home, because what I think you'll see is that adders increase transparency, they build up confidence, they increase grace and truth, knowledge, as well as wisdom. They increase energy so that you enjoy life and seize opportunities more. Happiness factors rise, and this is important. You become adders in greater measure when you have adders in your life. So today at lunch, share about one person. Just choose one that has been an adder in your life, and what is it that they have added? Say it out loud, and then maybe send them a note this week and say to them by name, "You are an adder!" Exclamation mark. Don't do any more than that, and just sign your name and see if they call you. What are you talking about? No, bless them. Okay, can I just say one last thing? Because all week long I've been thinking about this. I have this fear, but I know it to be true. Some of you right now, you don't have an adder in your life. You don't have the kind of friend that speaks to these things. And oh, I want that for you. Pray that for you. And I'm going to encourage you to take a giant personal growth step. Pray that God will give you an adder if you don't have one. I was in my early 20s. God gave me an adder. I was praying every day. I just felt like I needed a mentor in my life. I was so lost. I said, "God, give me a mentor." He gave me Leith Anderson at Wooddale Church, who added and added and continues to add to this day. Pray. God loves those prayers. He'll answer them. Secondly, act the way you want to become. If you don't feel like you have somebody adding, you start adding into somebody's life. I think you'll find some reciprocation in that. And third, reach out and ask someone to meet with you. It takes humility and courage to do that, but it's important. One of the good things that God has called us to be about is the future, our 10-year vision. And I want to give an update of where we are before we go today. But before we do, can I just pray for this gift of friendship? Would you join me? Father, what a friend we have in Jesus. And you show us what it means to be a friend. You are the benchmark of what it looks like. So deepen our bond of affection with you first and foremost, that flowing out of that would come a capacity to be an adder in other people's lives. And I pray for those who may not have that kind of adder, that Father, they would turn to you and know that you always add and receive you in your companionship, I ask in Jesus' name, amen. Before we go, I just want to take a few minutes to give you an update on Kaboom, our 10-year vision, because next Sunday is April 29th. Can I remind you of that? And April 29th is the deadline date by which we're hoping you'll get in your gift intention cards that will help us make a decision concerning our very future. For those who are guests, by the way, our purpose is to honor God by enjoying him through reaching people with the love of Jesus Christ. And when people get reached with the love of Jesus Christ, joy goes way high for God and way high for us as well. And so February and March of this these last several months, we've cast a 10-year vision for Westwood to reach people with the love of Jesus Christ here, near, and far. It's a bold vision. It's an exciting vision. And personally, I believe it's going to bring eternal good to thousands, if not 10,000s of people into our future. It's called 10-10-10. I'm very excited about it. Just a brief summary. The first 10 is that by 2028, by God's power, we're praying that we could plant 10 churches, multi-sites, or micro-sites to reach people with the love of Christ. The second 10 is 10 times 10. We're praying that God's by God's power, through partnership with other churches, that we would plant 100 churches in the immigrant community of the Twin Cities. And the third 10 is 10 times 10 times 10, that we are praying that God's power, by that power as well as 2028, that we would plant 1,000 churches in the far reaches of the world. And that's the vision. So I got a couple of thank yous I want to give out before I give you the update. First of all, thanks be to God who gave to us Jesus. What a gift. And thanks be to Jesus who said, you will receive the power of the Holy Spirit and be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the world. He's the one who gave the vision for here, near, and far. We're just embracing it with greater boldness than we ever have in our history. And I want to say thanks be to those who are going and serving, because there's no more holy privilege to know that we get to be part of God's plan of redemption. I mean, it's sacred territory to say we get to join God in this vision. What a gift that is. And many of you have already said yes. Our multi-site will launch this fall. Already, it's only April. We have nearly 150 people who've said yes. So small groups are already getting launched. People are serving and getting engaged already in aspects of here, near, and far. And I just want to say thank you for that. And then third, thanks for all of those who have already given and brought your gift intention cards. It's really been helpful. Even though we have another week to go, it's given us confidence. Even though we're humbled, we've got still a ways to go. And I'm going to give you an update on that in just a moment. We asked for two things in financial support for this vision. The first thing was an invitation for you to take a step up the generosity ladder, that is to increase your regular giving to Westwood, wherever you are, that you would take a step up, knowing that that ongoing giving would cover the ministry initiatives related to here, near, and far. Carrie and I have filled out a card just this last week. We got our card in, and we have said yes to take a step up the ladder, but also to do the second thing, and that is we asked you for a one-time above and beyond gift that would help us quick start the 10-year vision. That includes updates and security, things that we want to put in our Chanhassen and Minnetonka sites to improve and strengthen that area. This building's 15 years old. It needs some retrofitting along the way. But the most time-sensitive piece is securing and converting the building that became available on East Bush Lake Road and 494 in December. So we've been working through all the city processes. We're all the way there. We just have to have a financial plan that says this is good stewardship moving into the future. You can see it's modeled after the Woodside Room here on the Chanhassen campus, and it's intended to be in proximity to the whole of the vision. So for instance, there are 85 churches in Bloomington. 40 of those churches are immigrant churches. There are 90,000 people. There could be easily another 20 churches in Bloomington. We'd love to strategically go there because of the proximity to here, near, and far, and not only launch our multi-site, but also launch our first immigrant church plant and also create a center for church development and training for pastors that will be involved in that mission going forward. So just simply two questions. What will it take to move forward? Our target goal for the quick start giving is $4 million of pledges and dollars received, pledged by April 29th, next Sunday, but received by the end of June, that would give us the resources to do the build out of that space if God is to move us in that given direction. And what has come in already? Already there's hundreds of cards that have come in. We're already at 2.4 million. We give thanks to God for that. But we have 1 week, and it's going to involve all of us. And I pray that you would say yes to be part of this great vision that God is giving, that you would get your gift intention card to us this week. It's really important because it's the only way that our leadership board and our church family can make a prudent and wise decision concerning our future. So if I could invite you to take the gift intention card out of your program, you can download that if you're worshiping online. They're in your program. Just take a look at it if you would real quick, pull it out, and you'll see it's very simple. We're inviting you to check the boxes that are pertinent. It could be all three. It could be two of the three. It could be one of the three. The first one is, I took a step up the generosity ladder. We hope you will. That gives the ongoing needs in the years ahead. Second, I will give above and beyond to Quickstart for the 10-year vision, to Quickstart the 10-year vision. That one-time gift helps us to build out that if we move forward with that Bush Lake property, as well as to take care of the needs that we have in Chanhassen and Minnetonka. You'll see it says April through June. That helps us know that we have the resources to be able to go forward. And then third, my above and beyond Quick Start gift will come at a later date. You really want to be part of it. You just can't do it in that time frame. Still indicate the amount that you could give and the time frame. We can use that in our decision making. I know the inclination. I have it too. I don't like filling out cards. But our board just simply can't make a prudent and wise decision without some knowledge. Could we have financial support for this? We do not want to jeopardize the vision, the beauty, the goodness of all that God is doing over financial matters. So it's an invitation for all of us to be part of it, and I hope you will consider doing so. Once we get the cards in by next Sunday, which we encourage you to get them in or do it online as well, we have some big decisions to make. So our board has meetings that are set up, and in fact, the purple insert that's in your program invite you to a special business meeting. I think it's only the second one in our history, but we can't move forward without the approval of the church family with any of these things. After the 11 a.m. service on May 6th, here on the Chanhassen site, we'll have a short business meeting to let you know where we stand at that given time. So we hope that you can make that a priority and come. There's three things we'll be voting on. Those are detailed in that insert. Then also, there's an informational meeting available the next two Sundays. If you have questions and want to know more, we want to answer them. We've been doing that in meetings for the last month. But if you didn't get to one of those, details are on that insert to let you know what's available. Come, ask your questions. Well, I want to close with just an encouraging story. I've got so many, I just had to choose one. Many of you are writing notes about your personal journey and decision on the back of the intention cards, which our team has just been blessed by some of the things you've shared. Many of you are first-time givers. You've never given before, and you're experiencing the first time the joy of trusting God with your resources. That will exponentially grow in your soul in the years ahead. The one that I want to reference, though, is not the one that is a first-time giver. It's actually a family who's been here a long time, and I thought, what a marvelous story this is. This is the mom who wrote the card and said when her husband gets a bonus each year, they divvy up the bonus to all four of the family members. How cool to be a kid in that family. I want to be in that family. They give a percentage of the bonus to each of the kids. The kids have the freedom to choose how to direct that gift. And their 16-year-old said, I want it to go to Kaboom. In the heart of a 16-year-old who gets the vision of what God is doing, that lifts my day. And I trust it lifts yours as well as we invite you to consider what your role might be. What a neat family practice. What a cool heart of a young person. And may that prayer be answered. Listen, I know there's a lot to invest your money into, but I can't think of a more worthy investment than the eternal good of reaching people with the love of Jesus Christ. And I invite you into that place. Would you join me? Let's stand together, Minnetonka, Woodside, wherever you might be. Let's just give praise to God for who he is, what he's doing today, what will happen this next week as the doors get open, and we'll sing together the doxology in praise and honor of the God who knows us so well and wants us to know him as well.